Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two at the races on this Wednesday and day three of the Keeneland sale. And Sid has been seemingly all over. He's been to farms, looking at stallions, sale. I see all kinds of activity. Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Okay.
I saw that you're about to have cataract surgery, so good luck.
Thank you. This is just... I got to tell you, it's just a never-ending now, it seems. I mean, they said the cataract would get worse after the other surgery, the detached retina. But, I mean, now at least I know why I've been struggling to read why the close work. The guy yesterday, he said, let's take a look at that. And he goes, ooh. I said, this is me. He said, you've got, yeah. He said, this has got to come out. I said, okay, yeah, thank you.
And that should take care of it, though, because
I think so. You
know, that surgery is pretty successful. And vision, yeah, my mom had cataract surgery, and she said she hasn't seen better since then, you know.
Well, and the most exciting thing, I had to reach into my pocket for an extra $1,200 for a specialty lens because the guy said you know, you've got a severe astigmatism. I said, yeah, yes, I've been wearing glasses since I was seven. And he said, you know, if you don't mind, you know, the insurance won't cover the specialty lens. He goes, but I can fix that astigmatism with I forget what he called it, some kind of a lens, a toric lens, toric lens. And he said that the astigmatism will go away and will be gone. I said, well,
wow.
Let's do it.
No doubt.
How many, you know, chances you get for that? So, I should be, I guess by next week sometime, I'll be able to then go get a third. I've laid out money for two new sets of glasses.
Can you cancel them?
It's a waste. I mean, the ones I got after the detached retina, and then I put the lens for the eye in glasses that I bought in April, and so I've spent probably $2,000 on glasses that are going to have to get. I mean, the frames are fine, but I'm going to have to get another new a different lens again now for the left eye. It's crazy.
Wow.
Whole thing has been, this has really been a.
What a.
It's been a.
Yeah, I feel bad for you. I mean, it's one of those things that keeps going and going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I've heard from so many people that, you know, it says I'd never heard one discussion anywhere, anytime about this kind of thing, the starting with the detached and now, and then once experiencing it, I've got sort of a public thing here. People have written and they've said, I went through this and then this happened and that happened and it sounds like you're doing good. And I mean, overall, I guess I'm fine. And it's certainly by comparison to other things, it's such a part of your daily function, you know, everything you do. So each thing is taking some getting used to, but so be it.
Good luck with it. And I mean, you got to be able to read.
Yes. Yes. Because there's so many uplifting things on the internet. It's a joy a minute. You open up. Any area, any page, any topic. Yes. Well, I do sense that there's some pleasantry going on in Kentucky, it seemed like it's a pretty vibrant scene. Talk about these first couple of days, and then some of some of the work you've been doing.
Well, you know, this sale is usually not a favorite of mine because the weather is usually terrible, but it's been mild here, which is great. It has been overcast and there's been some rain, but the temperature right away, you know, makes it so much more accessible to go see all these horses because they have open houses during the sale in the mornings. The farms do. And so, as you noticed from my Twitter feed, I posted stallions from several farms, and that's been really great to go see them. And it's always nice to go see the new horses, too, so you get an idea. You meet a lot of people here, just by being at the sale, you're going to run into people. I had a long talk just by chance yesterday with David and Gordo. And that was just right after I'd been speaking with Ed Price of Mowens Hill Farm, and right before that with John Phillips. You know, you just keep running into guys, and you get a good sense of how the industry is. The oral stories, which are really good because it's stuff you don't read about. And, you know, I was talking to Cormac Brannick of Airdrie Stud the other day. He's part of the stallion group there. I think he's a stallion director. You know, when you don't have a lot of new horses and you've got horses, stallions caught up with their second, third, fourth books, it's a real struggle to get mares. So, you know, these are all things that kind of come out when you're actually talking to people one-on-one. And it's really interesting to see that and hear it, because most of the news and most of the ink is relegated to the new horses and, you know, how many mares they're getting. You know, Audible, I think David Hanley of Windstar said, might have had already 220 mares booked on, you know, a first crop horse. Whereas a second or third crop horse, you know, they're struggling to get 50 at this point. So it tells a tale of where the industry is, and part of that, of course, has to do with why people are here at the sale. The sale is selling is the biggest part of this breeding game right now, because there are very few people that actually breed to race in terms of what it used to be.
The marketplace when it comes to these short yearlings is always fascinating, and then there's the in-foal mares, and you know the opportunity for people to buy not just a mare, but they're going to have a baby with it that they can then do whatever they want with. They can sell as a weanling in the fall. They can wait till next year and sell them, as a short yearling, or they can put them in training. I mean, there's so many things, and it's always fun. It's always, to me, one of the great sidebars when somebody, they sell the baby that they got as part of an in-foal purchase, and it covers the cost of the mare, and you paid for the mare and you still got the mare, it's a business gambit to some degree. And what about the age the age of the mares, because there's a little bit of everything. I see young mares changing hands, and then some older ones that have decent produce records, but you don't know how much longer they're going to be active. I mean, what's the consensus when it comes to adding to your broodmare band and taking stock of their age?
Well, normally, Steve, older mares get punished price-wise. Not that they're not, you know, legitimate good mares, but that you can buy them at a discount. And there's more of a premium on young mares. For obvious reasons, you have longevity, and for mares off the fillies off the track, they have a clean slate, just like a first crop sire does. So you can't punish them for being bad producers. Generally, that's it. You know, there's always there was a old mare in the sale, a real old mare that looked a lot younger than she was. 25-year-old mare made 60 grand. Great pedigree, of course. But then at the but usually you're going to get you can pick up really cheap mares at the sale, and you can pay a premium like some of these guys did for example, a sale topper broodmare prospect. The Uncle Mo filly coming right off the track with some good black type on her. That's the $640,000 filly that was sold as a broodmare prospect. You know, that's the type of filly that you can expect to make money. But there were some couple of prices at the top. Glen Hill. Craig Burnick had purchased Inflamed, the dam of Mo Forza, for $170,000 in November, 2 months later at the sale. Now Mo Forza has become a grade one winner. He sold his mare to Shaddai for $525,000.
Yep.
So that was a great play right there. You probably heard about that mare that had been purchased in Foal de Constitution for $1,000, then the foal made $4,500, and then I think it went from $1,000 to $4,500 to $130K. So, you know, there's all sorts of things like that when you can be on the right side of things. And then, of course, a lot of people on the other side take some beatings. It's been there's been a decent crowd at this sale, but it's been kind of subdued in one way, but obviously really good horses are bringing, good money. But I think that there's also some value to be had, because this sale was always known historically before as kind of the sale of guys with cull horses. And if you look at the pedigree, Steve, of another supplemental entry, Pomeroy's Pistol, this mare grade one plays, she's the dam of 1,000 Words by Pioneer of the Nile, who sold right for $1 million and won the Los Alamos Security. Well, she made $475,000 in the sale. A good price for her, but she's not too old. She's only 12. She's got some life in her, and she's in Foal de Arrogate. And if that, it's a great play on both sides. This 1,000 Words does go on this spring and wins some big preps and is going into the Derby as a favorite. And, what if he does win it?
Hmm.
Or win the Classic? You can understand now how this mare's value would skyrocket as well.
Yeah, and these are clever, these are clever games. I mean, that you think through
that's right.
You got to have some working capital, obviously, to get yourself in position to do this.
Right.
What's your feel on the short yearlings and the growth that we've seen in terms of the babies that September, obviously. So now we're, what, 90 days later, roughly 75 to 90 days later, some horses changing a little bit. What's the buzz on some of those first croppers and so forth?
I think, the mastery, I think, was there's a filly by Mastery that brought 365 was the most expensive short yearling to date. But there was there have been several others in that range as well, 300 and up, a Quality Road, for 310, a Practical Joke. These are horses that, unless they're headed, the Practical Joke was purchased, by the way, by 320 by Larry Best Oxo Equine. Practical Joke is a son of Into Mischief, grade one winner at 2 and 3, stands at Ashford. And that's probably an end user horse because Larry Best has got a great relationship with Into Mischief and his and that line. But some of these others very likely could be wheeled back in September. They're looking for pinhooks for September. And that's really what you're trying to do, Steve, with some of these that aren't headed to buyers that are prepared to race. It's the beginning of the yearling process this year. A lot of people have purchased weanlings last year to pinhook as yearlings, and the other part is, of course, short yearlings to pinhook. And some of these were quite nice horses, so you can expect some good returns for them in September.
The two gun runners on Monday, 300 and 290, the two colts, one to Larry Best and one to Nick DeMar.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That was another one I forgot that close to, the Larry Best was 300 and the other one was 290. A good, that's good for gun runner. Set him up well.
I have a request from a West Coast interested party about Flincher and any Flinchers that might be out there and catching any eyes.
At this sale, there were two that sold. One was a colt that brought $1,000, and then there was a filly that brought $12,000. These are the type of horses that, and the colt, I didn't see what he looked like physically, but, it's a big pedigree and a decent pedigree. And, Flincher is the type of horse that I think a European horse, is not a turf horse. They get punished sales-wise anyway. But it doesn't mean that, these horses might not come back and do something. So it's just, he's just got the kind of the wrong profile right now as a distance horse. Compare him to something like Practical Joke, who was a grade one winner at 2 by a line, Into Mischief, that's on fire right now. That gets, really well-muscled types that show well in the ring versus the Flinchers, which are a little more immature at this stage. So it's not surprising, but those were the only two so far that have sold.
I appreciate it. Trying to satisfy requests. We're taking requests on freshman sires.
I will recommend a non-horse thing, I did go to a charming bourbon bar in Versailles called Amston. That's the name of the bar in Versailles. Small bar, really well stocked. It's on the Bourbon Trail. It's owned by Charlie O'Connor, one of the owners. And Charlie, of course, is at Coolmore, one of the director of Stallion director over there. And terrific spot to grab a drink, and particularly if you're a big fan of bourbon, it's got everything there.
Nice. And, Amston. A-M-S-T-O-N?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Amston, A-M-S-T-O-N.
A-M-S-D-E-N.
Amsden. Amsden.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Amsden. And I did put a tweet out about it with some photos. Richard Henry showed up. He's the head of Primus. He does all of Coolmore's advertising. And, you know, guys with Coolmore, no matter who they are, if they're working for them, they've also had success, with some of their own mares, as Richard Henry has with the Jude family. And they've sold for, millions. And Charlie O'Connor has Petaluma Bloodstock, co-breeder of that American Pharoah half to Caravaggio that made a million. You know, these guys also are really notable in a lot of the stuff that they do on their own as well.
Excellent. I like it.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Sid, what's the itinerary? How long are you staying?
I'm leaving tomorrow, Steve. But it's been a really good stay, and I think one of the things circling back to what I started with is the people you get to see and you get the chance to chat with them, and you kind of hear really. What their hopes are, concerns, state of the industry. You get perspectives from different farms. Certainly from my point of view, since I'm not a guy from Lexington, and I'm not, I'm a writer and I run a company that is not based here. So when I come here, I do get a different perspective from people, and it's always interesting to talk, and there's some commonality among everybody, and there's, of course, differences among different farms that are competing with each other, too. So
sure.
All those perspectives really add up and kind of paint a picture of an industry that I'd say is doing well, but it's stagnating in terms of the number of mares that are obviously bred every year. And it's morphed into something that obviously, the Jockey Club has come up with this 140 mare thing because of concerns for what's happening in terms of stallions after their first year. Right now, Steve, I had a really good conversation with John Phillips, and I'll just briefly point this out. In the old days, you get a stallion to go to stud, and you have built in that maybe you've got 4 years to get your money back out of him right before his two-year-olds run. Then it became, three, then it was a two-year deal. And now, as John and I were talking, you got to get your money out the very first year.
Wow.
So that's the year, for example, where they know everybody wants a first-year horse. So you're beating 200 mares to them. You get out that very first year, and that's what allows you to, for example, sell a horse after the first year it's done. If there's interest in Japan or Korea, you've made your money, and now you can get a real windfall in that sale right away. And so it's changing on various aspects. And as I mentioned to Cormac Brannock, on the other end, when these guys complain that, they don't want to breeders don't want to go to a third or fourth year horse, I said to Cormac, I said, put yourself in their perspective. Why would they want to breed to a third or fourth year horse and then have those horses run, and by the time they have a yearling, and if they bomb, you're selling a yearling by a horse that's either in Korea or is a bomb, and so you're going to get hammered in the sales ring. So it plays, you know, you can see it from all sides when you're looking at this. But the main thing, as I was telling Cormac, is all of this has happened because everybody's really essentially selling, and there's a new buyer class coming in. The buyer class, the guys that are racing horses, are not the guys that used to breed the horses. So it's part of the fabric of change here that are leading to these growing pains.
It's an interesting dynamic because we joke about how as soon as anybody gets exported, it seems, you know, the progeny start to really run and start to sprout.
Exactly.
Well, the Escondorea being the one to mind most recently that mm-hmm. he was gone for 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, look at all these Escondoreas. And is there a boomerang effect to benefit a horse like Mattoli going to stud? You know, people, you know, realized after the fact that, well, Escondorea, you know, sometimes the offers are too good to be true when you think about what happened mm-hmm. with Empire Maker, where, I mean, for him to have been exported, you know, the offer had to be just, you know, ridiculous. Is there a potential for a boomerang effect where the one of the first sons, you know, of Escondorea to go to stud, does he get a bump because people realize that maybe Escondorea was sent, you know, abroad prematurely?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough when they're gone.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I think you get kind of depressed. But your comment about as soon as they go, things happen is so true. I mean, it's a standard joke in the business, and that's because, you know, you can't really analyze a stallion by the first few crops, really. If you step back, I mean, and right now horses are going before their first crop even runs, and occasionally they go, you know, once they're just starting to run. The case of New Year's Day, Maximum Security was in the second crop. And since then, he's had seven black type winners, three graded winners, and a grade one place horse. But he's already been gone, you know. And so it's unfortunate because had Escondorea been here, as you were talking about, that would certainly have helped. Not only does he have, Spencer has not only Mattoli, but more spirit by Escondorea there.
That's
as
right.
Well. So they've got two sons. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how a lot of this pans out, because Spencer, of course, is a farm that you know, breeds heavily that first year, and they'll breed as heavily as they can. They also have incentive programs for breeders to take part in the horse too by breeding, you know, their share of the upside program, which makes you essentially, by breeding X number of mares for, I think, 2 years, you essentially get a breeding right. And, you know, it's like the lottery. Occasionally, it'll turn into an into mischief. And, you know, you are now sitting on a huge windfall. But again, they're all gambling. It's another gamble, too.
Every aspect.
That's right.
Is a roll of the dice and you can call it an investment, but that's a liberal definition of it's not you know, it's not a not investing in conventional in conventional securities. It's exactly a different,
by the way, I do want to give a shout out to one of your listeners and somebody who's chats with you a lot, and I know that John Parada liked the book Sir Barton and the Making of the Triple Crown. I actually bought it yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Bought it at the Keeneland Library because I've been tweeting recently about Sir Barton and Audley Farm.
I saw this.
So I figured I'd get this book. And so I've just started it, but it's extremely well researched. It's a handsome book put out by the University of Kentucky
Press.
Yeah, press. And, you know, it's really well done and extremely well researched. The author is Jennifer S. Kelly, who's on Twitter as well. And, I look forward to finishing it up.
Jennifer has, been so much fun and such a brilliant.
Very brilliant, yeah.
Is curious about more and more about the game and trying to she's trying to find the next topic. And I actually got a speaking historic. I caught up with an email that actually was sent in November. I'm in the process of changing my email. I've had enough of this. My old long term email address that I've had for 20 years and it's just terrible. I'm switching off finally. I came across a note. Someone who's making a documentary or a film about Man of War, and it is amazing how you know the game's history just draws researchers and people that are that are just have a historic bend and mindset interests and there's so much and it's great that there's so many topics that would make virtually every great horse would make a great story and would make a great film or book subject and
would
because there's so many tangents to it, how the horse was created, the backstories of on the breeding side and how it landed in the hands it landed, and then all the human connections from owners and trainers and riders, and it's the best, as we say, the best unscripted drama in sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Sid, enjoy day three here at the sale, and we are going to have the LeCompte. I don't know if you've had a chance to look much at what's going on at the fairground Saturday yet. Yeah, that field may morph a little bit. We've already seen Lynn's Map is going to go to the Smarty Jones instead after drawing the 14 hole. So so far we've had is an Independence Hall winning again and Authentic. Constitution and Into Mischief, we've told those stories a little bit, but we still have some pedigree work that we like to do. We'll start to dive into it as the train pulls out of the Derby Trail Station.
Yeah, that's right. And I did speak to Barkley Tagg, and he said Tis the Law is doing real well. And, that's another player that's going to be reappearing.
We heard that. Who brought that up? That came up either yesterday or Monday. How well he just worked against the older horse, against one of
Mr. Fipke's horse.
One of Mr. Fipke's. Yes.
Tale of Silence.
There you go.
And his horse worked, and he worked extremely well against him. Interesting tidbit I did find out from Barkley about this colt is he's a small colt. He's only 15-2. And, one of the worries Barkley's had in the back of his head is, how far he'll go. Apparently he's a chunky, muscular 15-2 hands. And I said, well, Barkley, so is Northern Dancer. So, that made Barkley feel a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, looking forward to starting to get into those discussions. And, of course, we still have got OBS coming up at the end of the month and then back around to phasing. And mm-hmm. the mixed sale season gives way to the two-year-olds in training. It's no stopping it. Sid.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I
want to invite people, of course, again, I mentioned get a hold of Sid and his people at Work Thoroughbred Consultants, 510-490-1111. And don't forget to, you still got time. I mean, it's January, but you got plenty of people have some decisions yet to make and work with Sid. And are all the stallions enrolled? Did everybody get involved?
Yeah, we're getting, we've had some
Enix?
If you haven't, just enroll them in the Enix program. And, of course, that makes everybody able to get free Nix on your mares.
Exactly. And the Enix program. And follow Sid and Sire Watch on Twitter. Sid, thanks so much.
Absolutely. And good luck, Steve.
I appreciate it, Sid. Fernando, everybody, let's take a break. A little past the bottom of the hour, we're going to go to New Orleans. Speaking of the LeCompte, we'll get not just a look at the card with Chad Schexnader, the Fairgrounds Racing Podcast, but Midnight Visu just worked in the last half hour. So we'll get a report on how she looked. Looked like about a 101, apparently, and apparently she did it easy. Chad Schexnader joining us. Andrew Lerner. Talk about Queen BDU and great start to the year for the Lerner Barn. And Alan Foreman, Match 2020. It sounds like a game show. Match Game 2020. In fact, Tina and I, was that yesterday? Tina and I were in the car. It must have been Monday, maybe. Speaking of Match Game, it was Charles Nelson Reilly's birthday, the late Charles Nelson Reilly. Back after this, Chad Schexnader joins us from New Orleans.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's BYK, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's BYK to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 years old and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.